All right, so y'all ready? All right. So some of you are new, newish. You haven't been around long enough to realize that I don't typically preach traditional things. Like we had a certain season of the year, I don't typically preach about that. But I'm going to do that this morning. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Christmas and a little bit of, I guess, a disclaimer. I don't particularly like Christmas all that much. Is that all right to say that? I don't know. Is that bad? And here's what I don't like what we've made it. I don't like what America has made it, right? I love what the Bible says about Christmas, right? But if you think about it, you know, Christmas, as Christians, as believers, right, Christmas should be the most amazing time of year. Now, we all know that Jesus, I'm already off my notes, so we're just going to share a little bit, all right? Kind of on it, but off it a little bit, but we know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, right? And I love how people get all bent out of shape about that. And, like, forget all that stuff. That's just, you know, we argue about stuff that doesn't matter, right? But this is the time of year we celebrate it and whatever, right? So if we think about it, man, we're celebrating God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? I mean, when God looked down on the earth and said, man, it's time, right? It's time. He looked down. The Bible talks about that the earth, that we were just broken and lost and hopeless, right? And so he says, man, it's time. He looks over at the word, right? Because he's not the son until he comes down here. Right, church? He's not the son until he comes out of Mary's womb, right? That's when he becomes the son, right? But he looks over at the word and he says, it's time, right? And just got a request for a prayer here as we were greeting one another. I just want to pray here, and we'll do that now. So, Lord, we just come and ask that our hearts would be open this morning as we look in your word and share a little bit. But, Lord, this is the time of year that you know, love should abound and peace should abound and joy and hope and all these things. But if we're really honest, this has become such a stressful time of year. And it shouldn't be. It should be amazing. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd help us this morning, those of us that know you, to maybe hear what's being said this morning and say, man, have I gotten off track? Have I put the wrong things in the wrong places? And Lord, those of us here that don't know you, we ask that their hearts would be open and they'd not think about all the things that they think, oh, this is what church is like, or this is what God's like, or this is what Jesus is like. But that they'd hear, maybe for the first time in their hearts, your whisper. Say, no, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. Amen? So, Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. So, just going to, again, share a few things here. We'll go for a little while, and I'll shut it down. But saw something yesterday, everybody, that talking about forgiveness, a pastor friend of mine, and he was sharing what someone else shared, and he was talking about forgiveness, and he says, he defined forgiveness like this: letting go of the hope of a better past. Forgiveness, letting go of the hope of a better past, right? Because what happens is when we get hurt, and he was talking about the church hurting us, right? He says, this guy wrote this whole letter to his church, says, we need to forgive the church. And I love what he wrote because he says, you know, just because the church hurt you doesn't mean God did. We're churches full of broken people, man. We're humans. We're messed up. We do stupid things. We say stupid things. Can I get amen? Right? But what we see in Christmas time, church, is God sending his son to take our place on the cross. And Jesus was beaten and whipped and unbelievable. If you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, you need to see it. You won't watch it again. You just need it once, right? Because that's such a real depiction of what Jesus did for us. Because God says, you know what? I'm forgiving you. Forgiving you for everything that you've ever done, everything that you will do. Jesus hung on the cross for it. Amen? Right? And this is what we're supposed to be celebrating. But just think about how stressed out we get, right? Because we're trying to figure out just the right gift for each person in our family, trying to figure out how to pay for all these gifts, and then trying to figure out how to pay the credit card bills that show up in January, February for like 4 years after that. And, you know, can I get amen? I mean, for crying out loud. Look, I enjoy, right, as a father, I enjoy watching my kids open something and they're like, yeah, this is it, right? This is what I wanted. Yeah, it's so great, right? But church, let's be honest, man. By like 3 o'clock on the same day, the kids are doing something else. Right? I mean, I love that we live in America and we can bless our kids with stuff and we can buy cool things or whatever. I mean, I got stuff. I got toys. That, you know, difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. That's all it is, man, right? And when I was a kid, it was like $20. Now I'm 40-something. It's like, what do you want for Christmas? A new jet ski, right? I mean, you know, cool, you know what I'm saying, right? But church, you know, the stuff just wears out, man. It doesn't matter how shiny it is. Doesn't matter how cool it is, how fun it is. Stuff just wears out. Right? See, there's not a gift that my wife or my kids could unwrap under the tree that's going to help them get through a storm in their life. There's not a gift I can buy at the store that's going to put hope into their heart. There's not a gift, there's nothing I can buy on Amazon. I mean, they got everything except joy. Right? Can I get amen? Right? And boy, but think about it. We get so sucked into this stuff. Right? I mean, it's terrible. So I wasn't going to tell a story. If you guys see my notes, I was going to skip the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because my wife isn't in here. This isn't a story about her. It's about me. But so for our 10th anniversary, I'll confess, I'm a terrible gift giver. I'm not a gift giver. I'm a terrible gift chooser. Right? I walk into the store and I'm just like, it's like white noise, man, but in my eyes, right? I don't know what I'm looking at. I can't figure anything out. So for our 10th anniversary, we got 20 years coming up in a few months. 10 years, right? I'm like, this is it. I'm gonna hit this one out of the park, man. This is gonna be perfect, right? So I get onto the jewelry store, the nice one, right? Not the cheesy one. I go to the nice one. I just got a bonus check or something, whatever's going on. Not here. That was my old job. I don't get bonus checks here. Not yet. We'll work on that with the board. Amen. So anyway, I go down and I'm in the case, right? I'm looking at all these shiny things and I buy these really nice pair of diamond earrings, you know. They're nice. And so I'm like, man, this is it, man. I am gonna be made. This is gonna last me like 5 years solid, you know? So like I go and I'm so excited, man. We go out to dinner to some nice restaurant and I give her this little box, right? And she opens it up and she just flips it open. She was like, thanks. I was like, yep, that totally whiffed, man. I saw that going way better in my head, right? And so I said, well, what's wrong? Don't you like them? She's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, it's not, because I know it's not. So just tell me what's wrong, you know, whatever. So she finally admits, right? This is my wife. She finally admits. She's like, I've been telling you for like a couple of months what I really wanted for our anniversary. I was like, look, I know that communication is difficult in a marriage, but you for sure did not tell me, because I would have bought exactly what you said, right? Can any husband say amen? Right? When your wife actually tells you exactly what she wants, you're like, dude, done, bro. It'll be here tomorrow, right? So she finally admits that she says, well, remember there was like 2 days in a row where I left a magazine open on the counter, open to this page. I'm like, did you circle anything on it? Was there like a sticky note, like bright pink or something, you know, whatever? She's like, no. I'm like, you think I'm supposed to catch that stuff? Dude. So I said, look it, let's go back down to the jewelry store. You just pick out whatever you want and I'm going to pay for it. All right. And I blame my dad for it because that was my dad. Growing up, we'd go to, you know, with my mom's, you know, there was presents everywhere. We'd go to my dad's, there's nothing. I'm like, dude, finally I got old enough. I was like, bro, what's up? I didn't call him bro. Pops, what's up? Right. And he's like, look, man, we're just going to go after Christmas and everything's on sale. Get whatever you want and I'll pay for it. I was like, dude, that's awesome. Let's do that. So the only reason there's anything Christmassy at my house is because of my wife. Because I'm just like, nope, can't do it. I was talking about with some friends about Christmas lights the other day, and I was like, look, I just want to put them up in like June and leave them up. Just plug them in, right? I mean, why do I got to climb the ladder in the wintertime and, Right? I'm like, do you want me to die or something? Come on. Come on, church. I'm being a little bit funny, but trying to keep it light. But come on, how many times have we done that, man? We think, this is the perfect gift, right? This is it. And we give it to our spouse or we give it to our kids, and they just go, oh, chuck it, you know? Can I get amen? And it's like, look, I think what I'm trying to say this morning is like, that stuff's all cool, man. We got Christmas trees up here, and some people think Christmas trees are the devil. Oh, my goodness, grow up. Come on. Look, all this stuff is good. I like seeing lights up. I just want somebody else to put them up, all right? I like Christmas trees. I want to see ornaments on them. Just somebody else do it, all right? I'd pay someone to do it. Anybody want a job next year? For real, okay? I don't like doing this stuff. I like when it's done, right? But it's like God is saying to my heart for years now, church, right? For years. I remember the first Christmas I went to a big family function, and I actually didn't want anything. I was like, wow, that is a miracle, because I'm pretty selfish, right? I literally didn't want anything. I'm like, I don't even care. There's nothing, unless it was a jet ski in the driveway, that would have been awesome, right? But you know what I mean? We're so like, gimme, 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 gimme. It's like, but when Jesus came, it was not about give me, right? He said, I need you to think less about you. I'm coming to save you from all this. I'm coming to set you back on the course I wanted you on. I'm coming to restore the image that I created you in. Right? Is that good? Let's get into a little bit of scripture before I get in too much trouble. If you guys tell my wife I told that story, you're going to be in trouble. You need to find a new church next week or something. Or I will. One of the two. I don't know. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's get in there. Turn your Bibles, or if you're new, it'll be up on the screens here in a moment. It's hard to say this while we're turning there, church. Like for me, this is just me, all right? I need to make sure that I'm looking for hope in the right place. Or maybe I should say in the right person. I need to make sure that while I can and I will enjoy time with my family and friends. Like, I mean, we're going to another Christmas party after church in Waterbury area. Right? It'll be fun. There'll be lots of food there. I'm proud to say I have not put on any weight this holiday season. Not 1 pound. That's right. It'll be like next week I'll put it all on, right? It'll just explode out of me, right? But, and here's a word I want to throw out here, right? We're going to touch this a few times this morning. I will enjoy myself today. But I'm not getting joy out of what I'm doing. You understand what I'm saying? I can enjoy this. I can enjoy going and spending time with family. I can enjoy opening presents. I can enjoy or Christmas songs or whatever, right? But that's not where I'm getting joy from, right? Because we might go to this family function today and somebody gets in a fist fight in the driveway. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm the only family that has people like that? Come on, y'all are like, what? I don't think that'll happen. But you understand what I'm saying, church? If we're looking for joy anywhere other than Jesus, we're going to be disappointed. All right, I was going to show a video today. We didn't get it nailed down yet, but it's these two it's called the Skit Guys. If you guys ever watch Skit Guys, and one guy shows up at his house and he's got his nativity up and he's got his Christmas tree with like 6 million lights on, and he walks in and he's like, bro, check out my new Christmas star. It levitates, man. It's amazing. He's got this ugly Christmas sweater on and he's like, the lights are set to 76 hours straight of Christmas music. And the guy's looking at his nativity. The other guy's like just staring at it, and there's no Jesus in the little manger thing or whatever, right? The little, where there's supposed to be baby Jesus, and there's a gummy bear in it. And he looks at this guy, and he's like, bro, why is there a gummy bear in the cradle, right, with baby Jesus? And then, but this guy's just all hung up in all of his lights and all this stuff, right? And finally he goes, man, are you waiting until after Christmas to go buy a nativity set when it's on sale? He's like, bro, no, man, we lost baby Jesus like 12 years ago. And he's like, what? What are you doing? He goes, I don't know, man. Every year we try something new. He says, last year we had one of those little troll dolls with the huge like orange hair, and it like flips to that. And he's like, that was weird. Then we had a baby doll head one year. He says, that was freaky. He says, then we had dog treats one year, and Dalton kept eating them. The guy's like, oh, you mean your dog? He says, no, my son. My son likes dog treats. He eats them, right? And he's just going on and on. So this other guy's looking at him like, so you're saying to me that everything you've tried to replace baby Jesus with didn't work? And he's like, well, yeah, man, what's the big deal? And he's like, just say it with me. So the guy goes, everything, every time I try to replace baby Jesus with something else, it doesn't work. And he's like, say it one more time, nice and slow. And he goes, every time we try to replace baby Jesus with something, it doesn't. Oh, oh, right? And church, there's you understand what I'm saying? Like, presents, cool. Christmas tree's cool. Lights, cool, man. But it's not Jesus. It's not Jesus, right? We got to put these things back in the right place. Can I get amen? Matthew chapter 1, let's look at this for a moment. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child. Everybody say it with me. By the Holy Spirit, right? And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So let me pause here just for a moment, church. We got to catch this if you're new to this story or what the Bible says about it. So Mary was like a teenager, 16, 15, 16, 17, 14 maybe, very young, right? The Holy Spirit comes on her in another story of this and asks her, you know, this is what God wants to do in your life. She says yes, right? So God doesn't violate her at all, right? Or force anything on her. She's gonna surrender to this thing from the Lord. But she's not married yet. She's engaged to this man, which in that culture, that was like a done deal, right? So now she's going to come and tell her fiancé, I'm pregnant. Anybody ever been engaged and then your fiance comes and says, I'm pregnant? You're like, well, we didn't do anything, so I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Then, not only is that crazy, but then she says, and it's God's baby. He's like, say what? What are you doing in the prayer closet anyway? I mean, I don't know what's going on in there. Can I get an amen, church, right? So Joseph, in this culture, if a woman was found pregnant and not married, they would drag her out into the middle of the village and throw stones at her until she died. That was legal. They considered that an honorable thing to do. So now Mary knows this. She accepts this call from the Lord on her life, knowing that she could very well die from it. Isn't that crazy? Not only could she die from it, but she's figuring, man, Joseph's definitely going to bail on me for sure, right? But the Lord just says, hey, look it, I've got you. I'm going to take care of this. So here we pick up the story again. Joseph is going to send her away, right? He's not going to kill her. He could have done it. He could have had her killed, but he sends her away because he's a good man. But when he considered this in verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who's been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Just close your eyes for a moment. Raise your hand and say, I'm his people. I'm his people. It's not a different people. It's you. Jesus, this son, this baby that came, he came to deliver you of your sin. Amen. Let's keep reading. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, verse 23, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God with us. And this fulfills a scripture, a prophecy in the Old Testament where it says, God says, I will be in them and I will walk among them. Right? It says God Almighty, the word in the beginning was the word is with God, the word was God, and the Father sends the word down, wrapped up in a baby, right, through a woman. I mean, think about this. The creator of the universe, right? The Bible says that the Lord holds all things together by the power of his word, right? He is in control of everything, created everything that exists, right, just by speaking it into existence. Can I get amen? That God decided to come to earth as a baby. Church, think about this. That means that God, who protects us, who provides for us, who guides us and strengthens us in all these things, chose to become a baby who had to be protected and provided for and guided and raised. Read through this story. The Bible talks about Jesus growing up as a boy, right, and being raised God in flesh. Do you know that the primary reason that the Jews reject Jesus is because he didn't come the way they wanted him to? They wanted a king, like a king with an army, right, to come and deliver them from Roman oppression in the Old Testament. Can I get amen? That's what the Jews wanted. And then Jesus, this king comes, says, I'm your king. And they're like, what? You're nothing, man. Where's your army? What are you going to do? And he says, you don't understand. You think you need to be physically delivered. I've come to deliver your soul. Right? I saw something the other day. It says 10 out of 10 people are going to die. Some of y'all didn't catch that. It's like, right? If you're breathing right now, you're going to die. Guaranteed. The question is, where you want to go when you're done? Right? One friend of mine says it like this. He says, you know what? Talking to a guy that's not a believer, he says, look, man, if you're right and I'm wrong, right? He's an unbeliever. If you're right and I'm wrong, you know, all I've lost is a little bit of money, a couple Sunday mornings I could have slept in, and you know, a couple of mornings hungover or something, right, or whatever. But he says, you know what, if I'm right and you're wrong, if the Bible's right, you're going to know it forever. Not in a good way. Can I get amen? It's got a little heavy, didn't it? It's all right. Jesus, church, is coming back. Right, we all know that he's coming back, right, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, strong and mighty, full of glory. But what we're celebrating today is that the King of Glory came to earth not as the King of Glory, but as a vulnerable, weak, humble baby through an ordinary human in a way that was shameful and dangerous. God saved us through weakness. Isn't that crazy? Every time I've in 20 years I've been doing this, man. Every time I step back and think about that, I just go, man, who would make a plan like God did? No one, man. Right? I mean, you read the Bible and go, man, either somebody wrote, a whole bunch of people wrote this and they were completely insane, or this thing makes some sense. Is that good? Let's go over to Luke chapter 1. I want to make maybe just one or two more points here, and then we're going to pray and just bless you guys for Christmas season. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. So we're kind of backing up in this story here a little bit. We read Matthew, but we're going to kind of back up a little bit here in Luke chapter 1. Now, in the sixth month, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." Let's all say that verse with me, church. Come on, all say it together. For nothing will be impossible with God. Let's all say it one more time. For nothing will be impossible with God. Right? And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So I want to share with you a little bit about this section here in church. I've preached this before, but it's so powerful and so good. First of all, Mary's response to the angel is a really interesting one. She says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord," right? The bondslave. And in our culture, we don't like slavery, right? We think about slavery, we think about, you know, African Americans down south, you know, 150 years ago, whatever. That's not the word that Mary uses here. Paul talks about being a bondslave. Peter talks about being a bondslave. The difference between a slave and a bondslave means I'm going to serve you because I want to. All right, so in the Jewish culture, every 7 years, if you own slaves, every 7 years you had to let your slaves go. But if you developed a relationship with your slave and you loved them and there was a relationship, then the slave could choose to stay. And the owner would like put a punch through the slave's ear, a certain kind of a brand or whatever. And what that slave is saying, look, like, I know I'm free, but I love you. And you've been good to me, and I'm going to stay. This is what Mary is saying to the angel. You're not going to make me do this, but I want to. Church, here's God, right? God's not going to make you do anything. He's inviting you to partner with him in bringing a little bit of heaven to earth. Think about it. When the angel commissioned Mary, what's he saying? Heaven is invading earth through your womb. Right? Heaven is invading earth through your womb. Do you understand that, church? That's literally what happened. The word became flesh, dwelt among us through Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. And you know what the Lord says to me? A couple years back, he said to me, "Son, I'm trying to bring some more heaven to earth through you." Just like the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary, he says, "I'm trying to impregnate you." We're like, oh my gosh. Some of you are newer. You're like, what is this guy talking about? He's crazy. Right? We got to get it, man. Okay, in the natural, women have wombs, but in the spirit, everybody's got a womb. Right? And our wombs are dead, right? Because if we don't know the Lord, there's nothing going on in there. But the moment we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and joins himself with our spirit. And God says, now I'm going to start releasing some heaven into you, something I'm going to birth inside of you that's got to grow, just like Jesus had to grow, right? Just like he had to mature as a man and do all these things before he actually got on God's mission. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's saying, look, I'm trying to impregnate you with a little bit of heaven. I'm trying to give a little bit of something inside you that if you'll nurture it and you'll take care of it and you'll protect what I put in you and you will feed it and you will take care of it like a parent, like they took care of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? He says, there's something I'm putting in you that can change everything around you. See, the first thing we've got, as that thing grows in us, the power of God grows in us, church, he's got to get us out of that place of being hopeless. He's got to get us out of that place of being depressed and get us out of that place of just, oh, no, it's God with. He says, once I get you thinking the right way, man, watch out, because you're going to start making a mess out of the devil. Is that good? Is that all right? We've got to get over this thing of like, oh, it's Jesus, a baby in a manger, baby in a manger. It's like, man, this is the King of glory. Yeah, he's a baby, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Well, we've become too nostalgic. You ever see that thing on Facebook says, if you could ban Christmas songs, which one would it be? I'm like, my list is way too long to put up there. All the ones like Jingle Bells and all these, like, that ain't a Christmas song. That's a winter song played in January. Right? Christmas songs, if they're not about Jesus, it's not a Christmas song. Amen? Luke chapter 2, almost done here. Luke chapter 2 in verse 8. And I already read this at the end of worship, but just want to finish up right here. And we'll probably be done a little bit ahead of the kids, so if you guys just want to hang out a little bit, and we've got a coffee machine down the other end, please don't run out, right? Let your kids finish their thing. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news." Let's all say it together again. Of what? Great, great joy. Good news of great joy, which will be for all people. So, back in the beginning of my sermon, I said I'm a terrible gift giver, but you know what I'm learning? I'm a terrible gift chooser. I like giving gifts. But I'm starting to figure out that it's much more important for me to give people what they need, not what they want. Because you know what? If I give somebody what they want, probably won't do anything to change their life. But if I figure out what they need, and I don't mean just material stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying, church, right? Peter and John are walking to church one day, and they see this guy who's been a beggar his entire life, and he's begging for money. He says, "Hey, you guys got some money?" And they said, "Look, we don't got any money, but what we do have, we're giving to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And boom, this guy's been lame 40 years, 38 years, right? Never walked in his life. And they said, "Look, you don't need money, bro. That's what you think you need. But I'm going to give you what you really need." And the guy's healed, boom, on the spot, right? Jumps up, starts jumping up and down, runs into church, right? It's amazing, right? Can I get an amen, church? We get stuck and we think, okay, our prayer is like, okay, God, I really need this. And he's looking at us going, "No, that's not what you need. I know what you need," right? And if you let go of what you think you need and just go this way, he says, "I'll give you what you do need." Right? We want circumstances to stop. God says, "No." He says, "Maybe I'm the one who put them there. Maybe that thing you're trying to get out of is exactly what I put you in. Because you need that thing to get you where I want you to go. You need that circumstance to change your heart. You need that circumstance to strip some selfishness away and strip some anger away and strip some bitterness out of your heart." He says, "I'm putting you in that thing because that thing's grinding you down where I need you to go." Right? Might not be what I want, but it's what I need. In church, you know, it's some of the most powerful times of prayer is when I've got to that place again, say, "Lord, forgive me for getting so distracted by all this stuff. You know what I need. Bring what I need, even if I don't want it." It's a dangerous prayer. That one will hurt a little bit. Amen. So I want to challenge you today, the next few days. Do we look, you know, so Wednesday morning, right? We're going to wake up. Hopefully I can sleep in past 5:30. That'd be beautiful. And whatever time we wake up, we're going to go downstairs. There's probably going to be presents everywhere and all this stuff. And our kids are going to be going bananas and whatever. But man, can I challenge you to step back from all that stuff and think, if this was all gone, is it going to affect my heart? Right? Is Jesus enough? And not just like, "I'm hanging on to you, Jesus, I'm going to make it." But the Bible says that the news of Jesus coming to earth should be great joy. Great joy. Church, I'm telling you, I'm young enough where I could see some real hard things come in this country. really hard, hard things that we would have never dreamed would have happened here. We might get to a spot where we really are going to have to say, Jesus, you're more than enough because I got nothing else. And you know what? We want to say, well, let's pray and rebuke the devil. Maybe God's behind it. He's stripping the church back and say, man, what's really important? Do you guys really want what I want to give you? Amen? But we take some time to realize that we're saved. Church, we throw that around like it doesn't mean anything anymore. 20 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. Man, I look back and I don't even know that guy. Can anybody raise your hand and look back and say, man, who was that guy? I can't remember doing that stuff. I can't remember thinking that way. I can't remember angry and bitter and, oh, man, all this messed up stuff, right? Can we look and say, man, when I die, I'm going to heaven. What? What? Right? There's another video. I should have showed some videos today. There's this one that's gone for a few years now, and this guy wakes up in his bed, and he's covered in wrapping paper. And he rips it off his face, and he's like, I'm breathing! And then he looks, rolls over, and there's a body wrapped in wrapping paper, and he rips the, it's my wife! I have a wife! And then the kids run in, and they're like all like wrapped up, and he's like, we have kids! Honey! And then he walks out the door and walks into the hallway, and there's a light switch with wrapping paper on it, and he's like flipping it up and down. We have lights on it. He goes in and he's eating like Cheerios, and the bowl is like wrapped in wrapping paper. We have food. And he goes outside in his car. It looks like a minivan, so don't, that would be awful. But his minivan is like wrapped in wrapping paper. He's like, I have a car! What? And then his wife comes out with a cup of coffee, like wrapped up, and he's like, pop, pops a hole in it. He's like, whoosh. Church, do you realize that in America, we're like the top 0.5% of people in the world, wealth-wise, right? Imagine if we woke up every day, looked over at our spouse and says, man, I'm grateful for you. We saw our kids. I got 9, all right. Dude, it is a challenge some days to look. I don't have 9, really. Some of you are like, what? Not that many. We're close. All right, we're catching it. But you see what I'm saying, church? Sometimes our kids are crazy, and you look at them and be like, I'm going to bless you in the name of the Lord, right? Come on, man. We are so quick to complain about stuff that we should be grateful for. Let that one sit. Years ago, our Savior came to earth, hung on a cross for us, so that we could become sons and daughters of God. I have no idea. We've been here 20 years. I don't know what that roof noise is. It's just the timing is perfect every time. Do you understand what I'm saying, church, right? Let's stand to our feet. I just want to pray for you, for us. And just for a moment, I'm assuming there's a couple of new faces here that maybe you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior. You've never said, I want to give my life to Jesus. So just everyone, let's close our eyes, right? Close our eyes. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. But I'm going to make a guess that particularly during worship, maybe nothing I said, but particularly during worship, maybe you felt something in your heart say, man, what is this? I feel loved. I feel accepted. I might have felt like a new friend of mine says, like ridiculous goosebumps, right? I might have felt like this, whoa, like these crazy goosebumps, right? So if that's you this morning and you don't know the Lord, I just want you to raise your hand if you want to say, yeah, I want to receive this gift of salvation. I want to do that right now. Maybe you've been to church a lot, but you've never actually done that. And the Bible says we've got to do that, that we need to make that step of saying, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. So just take a moment. If you want to do that, raise your hand nice and high so I can see you. We've had in the last month, we've had 5 or 6 people giving their hearts to the Lord right here. Amen. The most recent was a professional basketball player who's playing basketball in Europe, and I led him to the Lord on video chat over my phone in my office. I like technology when it works like that, amen, right? And you know what's funny? This young man, he's gone to church his entire life, and I said to him, have you ever given your heart to the Lord? He's like, I don't know. Well, let's do it right now, bro, right? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. Right, so church, I'm telling you what, those of you that may have never done that, I'm not trying to coerce you or manipulate you, just telling you it's the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life, for sure, right? And God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're going to do, Jesus came because God loves you. That's why he came. So yeah, just one more moment. If that's you, pricked in your heart right now, you feel almost maybe even a little nervous about it, that's you. That's God talking to you. Amen? So if that's you, raise your hand real high. We just want to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you at all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for a sweet time of worship. Lord, we know the worship is not about us, but we're so grateful that you come down and you touch our hearts and you strengthen us and fill us with who you are. And Lord, as the next couple of days, as we're hitting that home stretch of getting all the cookies baked and all those last minute presents wrapped up and all that stuff, Father, I pray that you'd help us to step back and say, man, I'm grateful for this, but this isn't what this is about. Thank you, God, that I have the ability to do these things. Thank you that I've got some extra money. I can bless my kids and my wife or my husband or whatever. Thank you, God, that I'm, thank you. Lord, that gratitude would start springing up in our hearts again. And that maybe if we're going through a difficult season where we don't have a lot of extra, Lord, that we'd realize that the greatest gift ever given was when you came to earth and took our place on the cross. So, Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for the birth of our Savior 2,000 years ago. Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Again, Merry Christmas. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your little bit of time off work, maybe if you got some. And if you'd like any prayer for anything specific, please come on up. We'd love to pray with you and bless you. Amen.